Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Hey, I miss you guys.
No, you don't.
Hi.
I really do. I've been thinking a lot about you.
Have you? While you were hanging out with Harrison Ford?
I have been hanging out with Harrison Ford, you guys. It's pretty insane.
So you've been thinking about us while you were hanging out with Harrison
Ford.
I find that hard to believe. I'm sorry.
I sent my nephew a picture of me directing Harrison Ford, and he said, this is, what do you call it? It was like a bad guy in a movie, like the origin story?
Villain story.
Yeah.
It's still an origin story.
My nephew wrote, this is Donald's villain origin story.
Oh my God, right? I love him for that because he's spot on. That's how it happens.
I got to tell you the funniest thing. So I'm directing this show with Harrison Ford and Jason Segel, and I'm having so much fun. But I drive on the Warner Brothers lot.
And everybody's got COVID.
By the way, yeah, that's not what I was going to say, but there's been like a spike. LA County is like kind of where we have to put masks back on inside again. But it was in the news that like one of the major hotspots was the Warner Brothers lot, which is where we're shooting.
Damn.
So obviously we're being so strict about masks and testing and everything. Anyway. But anyway, I'm driving on the Warner Brothers lot, which for those of you who don't know, in Hollywood is you know, you see it actually in the beginning of Warner Brothers movies. They show all those giant airplane hangar looking things. It's a very special place. It's where they've been making – one of the places they've been making movies since the 30s where it all began. Every stage has a listed on the on a plaque outside the door all the movies and TV shows that have been filmed there. And it's just – the kid in me is still geeked out every single time I'm working on one of these lots.
Aww.
And I drive on. I pull into the gate. And the guard says, "Welcome back, Mr. Braff. I really love you on Bill's podcast."
Stop it. That's so precious. Oh, my God.
That's not precious. That's fucked up, man.
It's hilarious.
What a backhanded compliment.
No, he was being silly. He's a fan. He listens.
In all honesty, this is Bill's podcast. When I really think about it, I mean, it's our podcast. But we talk about pretty much everything Bill Lawrence on this show.
It's all Bill all the time.
Yeah.
Well, I'm working with him, and I'm having so much fun. He's so good at what he does, and he's so funny. And Jason Segel is so cool. Couldn't be a nicer fellow.
That's great.
Oh, yes. Love to hear that.
And Krista's in it, and she's hilarious. But, of course, the big story is Harrison Ford, who said my name, for the first time. And I was like, oh, my God, he knows who I am.
How long did it take till he said your name?
Well, like, day one and two, you know, I was just, you know, I think they're all he's getting used to the idea that on series TV, the director's different every week. So I think that, like, you know, he's never done that before.
Right.
And so at first, I think he was a little like, you know, he's super warm and kind, obviously. But I think he's just a little like, you know, this is weird. The director changes every week kind of vibes. That's what I felt.
Right. Right.
But then, you know, I think I'm pretty good at it. And he, I think, sensed that. Actually, he told me so much. So he started learning my name.
Right on. That's great.
He's worked with the best.
And
oh,
then he
gosh,
was like,
Zach,
the best thing that happened the other day. It was like one thing to be like, you know, is this where you want me on the mark? But it was another, like, the other day he asked me like an acting note. He was like, Zach, do you think, and I was like, oh my God, he knows my name. And it appears to me he's asking me an acting question.
Were you able to?
Yeah, it was like about, should I play it more? Do you think it's better more like this? Or should I be, or do you think the character is more like this? And I'm like, oh my God, we're not just talking blocking now. We're talking like performance. This is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Right on. That's awesome, dude. That's so freaking awesome.
It's so cool, man. It's so cool. Do you want to know the funniest shit? There was a character that they ran, I think randomly named Luke, just like someone he references. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even put two and two together, but he's like, which one of you is Luke? And I was like, oh my God, he said Luke. And then at a certain point he forgot the name. He goes, what's his name? I go, you know the name Luke. And everybody laughed.
It's just so crazy. I mean, like, there aren't that many movie stars anymore. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He was one of the last movie stars. There's one movie star,
Tom Cruise.
Zendaya.
That's it. No, Tom Cruise. That's
Tom Cruise.
Okay.
Tom Cruise. Did you see Top Gun?
I haven't seen it, but it just beat Titanic. It's Paramount's biggest movie of all time.
That's true.
He's the one and only
movie star. I think it cost $700 million just domestically.
Yeah. He's. Mm-hmm. Have you seen it?
No, but everybody tells me to. I haven't
seen
it.
I went and saw it, and I was like, I'm not going to lie. I went and saw it, and with hate in my heart as I'm walking into
the
movie.
Why did you have hate in your heart?
Because I'm like, that first movie's so cheese, dude. Come on,
ooh,
man.
It's bad.
Look, it's like, it doesn't,
it
I mean, my wife loved, my wife, that's the only time I've seen it too. My wife loves it. She grew up on it. My wife's like, if I got Casey up here right now, she'd be like, oh my God, right? She'd probably start crying talking about how much she loved Top Gun as a kid. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, right.
So, she's been begging me to go. And I'm like, I don't want to see that shit. There's no black people in Top Gun. There's no fuck it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going down the list of hate. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And she goes, come on, let's just go. And I'm like, no way. So her friend takes her to see it, right? Her girlfriend takes her to see it. And she comes back and she's like, babe, I went and saw Guardians of the Galaxy with you. I go to see all your bullshit. You know what I mean? This is one thing. She's like, I saw it. I'm willing to see it again.
Wow.
Please come with me to see Top Gun.
Wow.
So I'm walking into the movie like, she threw guilt at me. She's throwing, you know what I mean? This shit is so, I don't want to watch this, right?
Right.
Mm. Oh.
He really loved it. Audience, he's covering his eyes. He really loved it.
Zach, it's one of the best movies ever made, dude.
Wow.
For real. For
real. Wow. All right.
Like,
you sold
no
me.
Bullshit. Like, no bullshit. Like, I don't know how to explain. I don't know how to explain because, look, I'm a Tom Cruise fan, but I'm the guy that only sees his movies once. I don't go and see Tom Cruise movies over and over again. For some reason, that's just not for me. This there's only a couple of them. Risky Business, I've seen
going deep.
Way more than once. You know what I mean? And I think maybe Cocktails I've seen twice, but you know what I mean?
That's a random too,
yeah,
but okay.
Yeah, you know, but everything else one time. This movie, I can't wait for it to come out on streaming so
right.
I can watch it
right.
over
I'm
and
gonna
over.
Go see it.
Dude, it
they
is
put the
so.
In the Jets.
Dude,
I know, that's
it's
incredible.
So good. It's so good.
All right.
Dude, like Tom Cruise is a true movie star, man. Like I clowned for so long.
It's amazing, you know, because he's the longevity he's had, and he's kind of like the last one standing that can still do that solely on his name. I mean, obviously, Top Gun's a property that people remember from growing up, but I mean, it's just he's like the last standing bona fide.
Did you see the trailer for the next Mission Impossible?
No.
Holy fuck, dude! Yo, this shit looks crazy, dude. This shit looks crazy dope. Like, I can't. I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh my God. It's caught up to me.
Let me tell you something that I loved that you wouldn't have thought I loved.
What?
Winning Time.
I knew you'd love that.
Anybody, I loved it. And you know the best part about, you know the best part of, first of all, you know the best part about winning time for me is I don't know the end. So I was joking. I was joking. I was joking with Jason Segel, who's one of the stars and who's incredible in it. All the performances in that show are excellent. Every single actor. And Wood Harris is his name?
Yeah, he plays.
Oh, he's going to win an award. He's incredible.
He does a great job in it.
And Tracy Letts and of course, John C. Reilly. Anyway, I loved it. But the funny thing, I was joking with Jason Segel and Bill Lawrence, both big sports fans. I was like, the funny thing for me watching is I don't know the ending. So I'm so caught up in it. And I find myself like alone in my house when they beat Boston and like my arms are going up in the air. Like I'm alone and I'm like cheering like from my couch.
You had no clue.
I had no idea. And then Jason was like, you know, when we win in the end, and I was like, spoilers. I was like, he's like, oh, most people know the end of that story. But I'm telling you, audience, if you're not, obviously, if you're a sports fan, you gotta watch it. But even if you're not a sports fan, it's incredible, and you won't know how it unfolds. Obviously, they're going to continue it because it's so good. And that was 1980. What year did Jordan
79.
Come?
It was 79.
No, I think they won in 80, I believe.
79-80. It's the 79-80 season.
So what year does Jordan, do you know what year he comes into the picture?
He's a few years later.
Oh, because I'm interested now. I mean, I know they're going to continue, but it'd be interesting to know if they go right after or if they jump a few years and wait till Jordan comes into the mix.
Well, they should go right after because the story that's – what's up?
84.
Oh, there you go. I didn't know that Larry Bird was such an asshole to him, to Magic. And,
no, this is based on a true story. Come on now.
No, but I think that they've said, and Bill told me that they've since become, and obviously in the years since, they've become friends, and they and Larry acknowledged that he was a jerk. That's what Bill said, at least.
Well, look, okay, so here's the thing. Here's what I understand. A lot of this we can't, like, because I understand that Jerry West is a little upset about how he's portrayed.
He definitely doesn't.
How he's portrayed in this. I think he comes off fine to me. He comes
at the
off
end,
as a,
by the yeah. end he does, but in the yeah. beginning you're like, this is the worst person in the world.
On the planet, right. And I don't think anybody wants to be portrayed as that. But, you know, from everything that I understand in watching sports through my eyes, obviously, what he's done for the Laker organization, the Memphis organization, like he's brought in, like Kobe Bryant is by far, you know, that's him. Shaq organizing the deal to get Shaq to LA. That's him.
So they can keep the story going for a long time.
Oh man, dude,
it's so good.
He really is the reason why the talent pool and that, like his eye for talent when other people can't see it is amazing. Like he could tell you who's going to be good and who's not going to be.
All you got to do is want to be a Laker fan.
Like, as the '80s go on, you'll see this, man. Like people like Kurt Rambis comes in and plays for the Lakers, and you're like, who the heck is this guy?
I was so happy when Daryl Dawkins appeared at the end as a 76er.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as I've told you before, he was all I knew about basketball when my dad would drag me to go see the Nets. But, he's portrayed in the end.
It made me
want to be a Laker fan, though, dude. I really realized... If you know all the stories, I mean, I know this is going to sound idiotic to people who love sports, but just bear with me. If you know all the soap opera and you know all the drama and you know everyone's unique stories, I could totally understand how you'd be so invested and excited about it.
Okay, so for the few point times in my life where I've gotten to hang out with NBA players like on a chill level, it's been with... I've been invited to Jerry Buss's suite and got to sit next to him and Magic Johnson before he passed away.
Wow.
And then one time I got to hang out, I was hanging out with Leo and Jerry Buss in the lounge, that the Laker lounge that he's, you know.
Really?
Right.
So he continued it going at Staples Center?
Yeah. And
his daughter owns the team now.
I've been at a forum and stuff like I've seen them play at the forum when they were at the forum too.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Back in the day before they moved to I've been out in L.A. for a while, bro.
No, I didn't know what year they moved to the Staples Center or whatever it's called now. But probably it's called the Bitcoin Arena or something.
Anyway, both times I made an ass out of myself. One time I was trying to be like, you know, in the mix because they brought up money. And I was like, oh, yeah, let's talk about money. And I could tell that everybody was like, you dumbass. This is Jerry Buss. What are you doing?
You're just in your head. No one's analyzing him.
In my mind, that's what I thought. And then the other time, I was like, well, because look, it's true. Jerry would make it so. And this is just from the little bit of experience that I had and watching the show. When you went and hung out, it really did feel like that, where there were just like a lot of beautiful women around. Right. There was a lot of food, a lot of drink. And freaking, you're watching basketball and you're having a great time, right?
Yeah. He created that environment.
He like, created the whole created plan the Showtime was to make it
like the Playboy Mansion meets sports.
Yeah. And he did that successfully.
Yeah.
And watching this show and watching John C. Reilly play this guy who's so like on the verge of failure, really.
Yeah.
Like this whole time, all it takes is just a little bit, just that one straw. We're just waiting for that one straw, for especially if you don't know the outcome of the story. If you know the outcome of the story,
I didn't. I was on the edge of my seat.
Everything's going to be all right. Right. Everything's going to be all right.
Until Jason Segel ruined it for me, gave me spoilers.
Right.
He's like, they're not really spoilers.
Right. But if you do know, just watching, like, dang, he had this much going against him. I didn't know it was that close. If he would have lost that game, if they didn't win the championship,
yeah. And all that
great
stuff
show.
About Kareem going in at the end. And first of all, the actors who I think are unknown to most people. I've never seen them before. But the gentleman playing Kareem and the gentleman playing Magic. They're so good. They're so
John's
talented.
The dude playing Bush, the dude playing freaking West, all of them. Wood,
yeah.
Like you said it all, man. Like
amazing.
That's amazing.
Amazing. Wood,
great.
Wood's gonna win the award, man. He's fucking he. And that last episode when he does that monologue about his childhood.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. It was so good.
Did
fucking
he get nominated?
Hell. No, I think it would be next year. But right, Joel.
I don't know.
I believe so.
I don't know.
All I know is because
the Emmys just came out. The nomination just came out, so it would be next year.
Okay. Anyway, all I know is this. It's been up. I thought he would get nominated for this. But anyway, all I know is this. If they do another season and they skip ahead. Okay, well, if they skip ahead, I think they're doing a disservice because there's something really special about Magic Johnson and Larry Bird after that season. Them developing their friendship. There's something really dope about the Boston Laker rivalry, but not just that, just the two of them. And you gotta build on that.
I was just thinking. The very little I know is that, like, at a certain point, Jordan comes into the mix, and that's gonna be really interesting too.
Well, when Jordan comes into the mix, HIV comes into the mix too.
They start this. Remember talking about him getting diagnosed.
Yeah. Like Jordan,
all right, should we get into our Jordan, show, Donald Faison?
Absolutely, we could totally get into the show. I'll
Let's
talk about
do
sports
it.
Forever.
And I just want to say one thing.
Eat these balls, Zach. Eat these balls, Zach.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made about a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who love to hate. I said, here's the stories that we all should know.
How are you, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I miss you. I miss your face. You look good.
I feel like I've been run over by a truck, dude.
Why?
Well, first, I'm smoking some of the best weed you've ever smoked in your life.
Okay.
One. Two, man, these kids, it's summertime, and it's real in the field, and the tricks that we were using in the beginning are no longer tricks. They become habits, and they can't be habits, or this kid or both of these kids are going to go back to school not prepared for the grades that they're going into. And so it's in crunch time mode now because we're at the end of summer, and it's been a lot of fun, but preparation for the school year has begun.
Oh, well, you mean like they gotta do like homework, or what do you mean, like, or just behavior-wise?
No, behavior-wise, training the brain to get ready to go back to school. you know, Rocco's going into third grade. That's a big deal, man. Things get real at that age. You know what I mean? Homework things, comes home.
Yeah, things get real.
You know, and so
I saw them. I saw them both kicking ass on the basketball court.
Well, they're good at sports. You know,
Rocco. Those videos you posted, Rocco is killing it, dude.
Dude, Wilder, dude. I love Rocco. Rocco got game, and I've seen it, but I just can't get over the fact that my daughter's the smallest one on her team.
Mm-hmm.
She's, you know, very, very, like, very, very shy, you know, when meeting people. Like, I took her to the Zombie 3 premiere, and when she met all of the stars, at first, it was like taking her on a ride at Disneyland where she didn't want to get on, and then after it was over, she was the best ride ever and wanted to do it again and again and again, right?
Introduce me to them again.
right. And so, like, doing basketball is kind of the same thing where you would think she'd get on the court and she'd be afraid to play. And at first she was, but once she got in there, like now we can't get her off the court unless she's extremely tired. And she goes hard, dude. And she could get, she's aggressive. And I would have never expected that from Wilder, but she's like extremely aggressive. Like if the ball is near her, she's going for it. That's and it's great. Really, it's amazing to watch.
You
and
created two little mini-me's.
Well, I didn't play basketball growing up. I was a theater guy. You know what I mean?
I know, but you love basketball, so it's just sweet that they love it too, and you can share that.
I'm trying to keep them away from theater is what I'm, like, it's really interesting. Cause
that's not
going to
happen with your daughter. Your daughter is a performer.
I know. I got to send you the videos from dance camp.
But she's such a performer. There's no way that girl's not going to be a dancer or an actress or something.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right, let's talk about the show Scrubs, everybody.
Elliot says yes.
My cold shower. Now, one of the funniest things about the episode, mistake-wise, is obviously none of us wanted to really get in a cold shower, so you can see a giant red mark on all of our chests when we're supposedly taking a cold shower.
especially
mine. It was a set shower, you know, so they bring in like a hot water tank. But I remember I'm laughing at every time they cut to me, there's a giant red spot in the middle of my chest. And I'm like, that's not an ice cold shower, bro. That's a hot shower. Directed by John Inwood, who is our cinematographer for almost every single episode of Scrubs. And he directed this one.
He did a great job.
Yeah, he did.
And Elliot says yes.
Well, Elliot says yes, but then the ring doesn't fit. And she's livid.
And then the fricks come.
Here come the fricks. Just put the mother frickin' ring on my mother frickin' hand.
Frick. Frick on a stick with a brick.
Yeah.
Frick. Frick. Double frick. Frick. Double
mother frickin' sounds really bad, even though it's just mother, frick.
Yeah, it's frick,
mother
though.
Frickin'. So Elliot was pissed because she's been wanting this moment for her whole life, and she had it all planned, and she planned what she was going to say. Yes, oh my God, yes. And when the ring doesn't fit her finger, the whole thing's ruined. And Keith offers the opportunity that she can replan the whole thing.
Okay, I got to call Casey because this is my life.
Okay, play the song, Daniel.
Casey, come down here. I don't know nothing about raising these fools. So tell me what to do. I don't know nothing about raising these kids. And that's what it is.
Yeah, you did do that. Okay, now let me set this up real quick.
Zach, I love you.
Hey, you planned your own proposal? What happened?
So look, let me set the story. Let me set it up.
Okay.
She and I had been dating for a long time. When we first met. Yeah, when we first met, she said to me, look, I don't want to get married and I don't want to have children. And so immediately,
Donald said, check.
Right. Exactly. Let's go.
Donald's like, check. Perfect.
Oh, check. Let's go home and do it.
Like, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, check. Let's go do it. Right. Anyway, cut to we're now dating for
7 years.
7 years at this point. And she's now on that shit or get off the pot.
I wanted
a baby. I didn't want to get married, but I wanted a baby.
Right.
And then we tried to have a baby and it was not working.
Right.
So my doctor was like, you should pick up a hobby. And so Donald said, why don't you plan a wedding?
Oh.
So I was like, oh, okay.
Well, no, that's not how it went. Don't even try that shit. Don't even try that shit.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay.
Don't even try that shit.
Because I needed to take my mind off of getting pregnant and focus on something. So I said, can we have a little wedding in your little backyard wedding in your backyard, Zach?
No, that's not how this happened.
So I started working on that.
No.
Oh, but prior
the ring.
To that,
thank
oh,
you.
The
what
ring.
The fuck are you doing?
Well, I didn't want to get married, but I wanted a ring.
Right.
I did want that. So I knew exactly what I wanted. And
so look, so I'm like, I'm going to get her a ring. But in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to Tiffany's to get this ring. I'll get her a ring from Tiffany's. And I tell her, I'm going to go get a ring from Tiffany's. And she's like, what? Don't you freaking do that.
Right. Well, because in my mind, I knew I'd get a ring from Tiffany's and I wouldn't get nothing else.
She's like, don't spend too much money on the ring.
I'm like, let's be practical.
All right, so then what happens?
And so,
you went to Tiffany's
so
and saw what the prices
like,
were.
Let's go on the ring hunt. Let's go on the diamond hunt. So she and I go to different places and we go looking at diamonds. We went to every diamond store.
We learned about diamonds.
Learned about diamonds, learned about clarity and everything. And then so finally we find this guy named Jason, right?
Yeah.
Jason of Beverly Hills.
Yes.
Give him a shout out. Yes. Love you. Give him a shout out. And somehow convinced him to give us this really big diamond for a certain amount of money. I'm not going to say how much it is.
Oh, my God. This is off the side roads and onto the freeway.
He's like, when do you want it delivered? And what did you say, Case?
I don't know.
You were like, I have a bunch of things that I have to do on this day. Can we have it by whatever day it was that
oh,
I proposed?
Oh, yeah.
Right? And you're like, and I'm like, all right, bet. So that day comes, she's like, I'm going to wait at home.
No, you're wrong.
Yeah, I'm
right. We were supposed to go pick it up. We were supposed to go pick it up.
Right.
And I came home and I was like, you need to be showered. We're meeting him at 2:00. I want my ring before they close. He said he's going out of town and won't be back for 6 days. And I'm like, nope, we're coming today. I want this ring today.
Right.
And so you were running late, you were showering, I was pissed off because you were taking your sweet-ass time in the shower, and I was downstairs.
No, you weren't at the house yet.
Yes, I was. And then you said, oh my God, I got to find my phone. You ran down in the garage, and I'm pissed off, and then you come back in through the studio at the Willow Glen house, and you hand me the box, and I'm like, you ain't got this ring without me.
That's not what happened, yo. She's making shit up now. But
you
okay.
don't remember?
That sounds kind of romantic, you actually. So I'm going to accept that. I'm going to accept that.
No, that's exactly how it happened, because
did he get down on one knee?
No, you came into the house. You came running into the house like this. Is it here? What?
Oh, maybe that does kind of sound
good. Did he get down on one knee?
I just remember him coming out of the garage, and I don't remember if he got down on one knee. All I remember is that he opened the box, and before he opened the box, part of me was pissed off. This fucker went and got this ring without me, and I didn't get to proof it first. Like, this is my ring, regardless. Like, I wanted to make sure it looked good before we took it.
Right.
And so I'm pissed off, kind of. And then he opens the box, and I remember the box had a fucking light in it.
Yeah.
And the ring was spinning.
Oh, my God. Whoa.
And I was like, and it was the bigger diamond.
Oh, you didn't know that he did that?
No, because we had two diamonds to choose from, and I was like, I think I'll be happy with that, with this size.
Oh, and he went
bigger.
When
really, you know, I'm like, I do like that big one, but I know we can't afford that big one. But I got the big one.
Yes.
And then the best part of the story.
High five, Todd. Yeah, you
high five, Todd.
The best part.
You got the big one. I got the big one.
The best part, he was like, I love you, I love you. And I was like, oh, my God. I was like, can I go show my friends? And I left and went over to Jessica's house, and all my friends came over, and I left Donald on the couch to pass out, and I didn't come home until midnight that night.
So romantic.
He was so mad at me.
All right, we got to get on the show. Right. Thank you, Casey Cobb. We love you. We love you.
I love you.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved playtime off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint.
Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day. Because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City Branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. LifeLock monitors and alerts you to identity threats you may miss on your own, even if you're careful with your personal information. And if you do become the victim of tax-related identity fraud, LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists ready to help solve identity theft issues on your behalf. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Why wait for your tax refund in vain? Help protect your information immediately with LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 25% your first year. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Identity theft protection starts here.
I love you.
I loved that story.
Everybody likes a little ass play, dude.
All right.
Everybody does like a little ass play, Zach.
Like, we have to talk about the TV show Scrubs, Donald.
Well, that had something to do with it.
All right, it did. That's a very sweet story. So everyone throughout the episode has fantasies about what it would be like if they were married to Elliot. And yours is by far the funniest. I laughed out loud.
Wow.
You play like a preppy guy with this sweater around his. And she says, I'm jumping ahead, but she says, keep an eye on Lupita. I think some of the silverware has gone missing.
Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think...
And then you turn around and you see this beautiful Latina woman in a maid's outfit, and bent over in a maid's outfit. And Donald Turk goes, I'll talk to her. And then you reveal that it's Carla, and he picks her up, and they go upstairs to make out. And he's like, damn, I'm having fantasies about my own wife. It's been so long since we had sex.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. In that fantasy, this is going to get a little weird. Do you think that Turk and Lupita Carla, do you think she's using him for the fact that he is rich and married and she's just trying to, you know, get that money? Or do you think she's in love with him and they're going to create... like in the timeline, are Turk and Carla meant to be even in the dream?
I think that Lupita is truly in love with Turk, and they're gonna run away one day. But that's the whole joke of it, is like he's supposed to be having a fantasy about another woman, but he's fantasizing about his own wife.
Okay, I'm gonna say one more thing. I do fantasize about my own wife.
I know, that's why you guys are so sweet together.
Oh man,
it's funny. I get the joke and everything like that, but in real life, like.
Well, speaking of real life, much like your character, Turk needs sex, and she has not given sex
very
long time because she's had a baby and she's not feeling it yet.
Yeah.
And Turk is dying because he really needs to be satisfied.
Yes.
We learn that Todd hasn't been laid at all. You'd think that he's prolific, but he holds up a zero and goes, when the janitor asks him how many times he's had sex this year, he goes, bagel.
Well, I want to go back because we didn't talk about this. Everybody is really not concerned, but sad for JD that he didn't get the girl.
Right, right. You know what I mean? Acting like he doesn't care.
And he's acting like he, and for the most part, at this point, he doesn't care. One of the my favorite lines is pretty girls don't end up with the uggos. He goes, pretty girls end up with the uggos only in the movies.
Yeah, only in the movie. No, he goes, sadly, this Kelso says this to me. Sadly, it's only in the movies where the pretty girl ends up with the uggo.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
Leonard's one is very funny where he's like, let me tell you about Lost.
Leonard holds up his hook and says, I know about Lost. Everyone's feeling bad for JD, but JD is seemingly obsessed for the bulk of the story with trying to have sex with Keri Russell's character.
But he doesn't really want to have sex with her. He's being pressured into having sex with her by his best friend. Because his best friend... Well, he's being pressured into having sex with her by the
men.
Hospital. Yeah.
Yes, because when all the men learned that she had a threesome in college.
With just three girls.
Yeah, you go, damn, and all the men hit their table, which was funny. And then I go, was it two guys and a girl or a devil's threesome?
And she said three girls.
And then I had to pick the drinks off the table for you and go, damn! Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So she invites me to the hotel. This is a bit bizarre. I mean, it's fine that she just wants the kiss, but it's a little bit bizarre that she says, hey, come review a hotel room with me and climb into bed with me.
Okay, so this is where we're at. Okay, so this is where we're at now. If it was a dude and the dude was like, come review a hotel with me, we'll have a bunch of fun. Hey, let's test out the bed and all of that stuff. You wouldn't think anything of it. But because it's a hot chick, like, you know what I mean? Like,
this happened to me in real life.
This is actually coming from the guy. This is coming from the guy who thought the animation room.
Because this is like a very mixed signal situation. And now I'm trying to think of what situation were you in where someone's like, come review a room with me.
This woman, this was like 20 years ago, or if not more. It's probably 25 years ago. I had no money. Let me just tell you the story. I had no money. Didn't have a dime to my name. And I knew a beautiful young woman who we were sort of hanging out. And she had this deal where she would review hotels. And her thing was that she had to go stay in the hotel and use all the services. And she would invite me. When she had the night, like she had to do everything. She had to do room service. She had to do the spa. She had to do, and I was broke. It was like the greatest thing ever. She most definitely wanted to also hook up. We did.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. That's what I'm saying. It seems the invite would
right,
be like,
but if your buddy was like, but if your buddy was like, yo, dude, I got a fucking hotel. Let's go hang out in that shit. We'll use all the amenities. After maybe go to the casino downstairs. We'll do all of that shit. Are you expecting to fuck your buddy?
Was I macking on them at the bar the other day?
Hold on. But if I was macking with them at the bar, then yes.
She's talking about macking and there's no touching too. So that's pretty much stage kissing also. Like,
But she was
so upfront about it too. It's nothing. All it is all we're doing is kissing. All we're doing is kissing. The minute you make a sound, the minute you start touching me, the minute you start doing all of that stuff, we're not in this anymore. I could play that. I think anybody could play that game. It's if the boundary is if you go, we stop.
Right. Well, that's impetus for the whole episode is that he endures it, but he needs a cold shower because he's so turned on. I mean, he's making out with the beautiful Keri Russell.
But she told him from the gate.
Right. But that doesn't mean that his peep isn't going to get erect.
Right. But my point is, I don't think she's sending mixed signals because she's not sending.
She's not into him. She doesn't even recognize him. She thinks he's the other guy.
Right. Exactly.
That's funny. When I go, well, he's done it. Look at me. What is he, Egyptian?
Right. He's like, huh?
Is he the double? What's that? Or was there a story
They specifically cast him. They found someone who kind of looked like me, but was different. But by the way, Donald, I think you mistake him for me.
Yeah, at one point I'm talking to him.
I go, he doesn't even have any laughter in his eyes. Let's take a break. When we take a break, and we'll be right back with more Scrubs Rewatch Podcast.
It's called Fake Doctors for Friends, guys. Everybody likes a little ass filet. Don't even act like you don't. Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we're back. All right, this yields one of the wackiest fantasies in all of Scrubs history.
Well, which one? Because there's
the
a couple
Winter
of
Wonderland.
Okay. The janitor one, but let's go back and just talk about the janitor one with Elliot, because they say something at the end when they're like, these aren't our kids. So did they kidnap these kids?
In the janitor's fantasy, yes, they've kidnapped all these children.
And made them wear janitor outfits
and doctor outfits. Mm-hmm. And he mentions the fact that it would be tricky to get all those tiny clipboards and tiny brooms. And then at the end, he says that they aren't our kids, which leads the viewer to infer that they are kidnapped children.
Stolen kids.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's the janitor's fantasy for his
future. Okay, that was pretty wacky to me. But nothing.
Nothing's as wacky. I think this is the most stoner fantasy, one of the most, along one with of. One of the pumpkin thing and your testicle growing.
Yeah.
This one I jump into the bed and for some reason it's a winter wonderland.
Yes.
But in that winter wonderland, Carrie Russell, what's her character's name? I keep calling her Carrie
Melody.
Russell. Melody, thank you, is a mermaid. Turk arrives
Wait,
as a...
Let's just stop there.
I don't know how to have sex with her because no one's ever brought up since Splash, this hasn't come up. How do they have sex? Although in Splash, when she's on land, she's a woman.
So what, they have to go to land in order for Tom Hanks' character?
I think so. I don't think that they're having sex underwater.
No, they're not. There's no way. When he goes to visit the family and everything at the end.
They should have made Splash 2. Did they make Splash 2?
If they did, I know Tom Hanks stayed away.
No, Tom Hanks wasn't in it.
No.
But you can imagine like Meatballs 2, they might have made they might have made Splash 2 without Tom Hanks.
And Borden, it would have been Eugene Levy.
But right? It's like Aquaman, dude. It's like Aquaman in that it all takes place underwater in her neighborhood.
Oh, that just sounds like somebody's going to drown back then. Like, let's just be honest, man.
Like, anyway, he can't figure out where
to put... That was back when we used to actually film movies underwater.
Right.
Before right. CG. Anyway.
Yeah. Remember that? There's that movie...
The Abyss?
No, there was one with Liev Schreiber and Dustin Hoffman and Morgan Freeman where they're all underwater.
There were a bunch. Remember, like, what was the one where with Sam Joel, Jackson?
Can you look up the one I'm talking about?
Was where it, he gets eaten by the shark? Deep Blue Sea?
Deep Blue Sea.
Which is the one with Liev Schreiber? What's the one with Liev Schreiber and Dustin yeah. Hoffman? And maybe it's either Morgan Freeman or Sam Jackson, one of them.
I've got
I remember there was like Deep Star 6. Was there like a Deep Star 6, Deep Blue Sea? What was the one with the...
Samuel Jackson, isn't it?
Sam Jackson is in the one with the shark.
Deep Blue Sea.
In Sphere.
Yeah.
That's deepest, bluest. Cool J?
Deepest, bluest. My hat is like a shark's fin.
Wait, that's is that right? the one with...
Not knowing the ride.
Is that the one in LL Cool J's in?
Yeah, he has the soundtrack.
He plays Hold on. The kitchen chef.
Yeah, he
I
plays the chef.
This is the movie
he has
I'm
a
thinking.
Bird. A Polly.
Oh, it's Samuel Jackson that I'm thinking about. Yeah.
Yeah, Sam Jackson's in that too.
Yeah, I think that's all underwater.
Deepest, bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. That shit was... You didn't like it?
I only saw pieces of it. I couldn't believe it existed.
Oh, it's so good.
That shit is good, dude. Yeah, when I was a kid, I used to love that shit, dude. Are you kidding me, man? That shit was fire to me, man. At one point, LL's like on the kitchen table or some shit like that, floating with the bird, trying to save the bird from the sharks that are swim. So the sharks get into it's like a
yeah, it's like an undersea station, right?
Yeah, man.
And the sharks get in there?
Yeah, and the sharks get in because they're intelligent sharks.
Is he rapping in the movie, or is it just part of the soundtrack?
No, that's just the soundtrack. He's the chef in the movie. Such a good movie, man. When I was a kid, I used to think that was so good. And I wasn't even a kid. I was actually an adult. But
yeah, I don't think it was as long ago as you being a kid. Anyway, JD can't figure out where to have sex with the merm woman. And you point, and she goes, that's a
Well, no, I show up out of nowhere.
Sorry, he shows out of nowhere as a goat Turk.
Playing a, what would that be?
What is the, a pan flute.
Is that what, like Peter Pan.
I think, isn't that called a pan flute, Joelle? Can you look that up?
Yes, it is.
Because of Peter Pan.
Now, you're a part goat, part man. There's probably a name for that mythological beast.
Like a centaur or a minotaur.
It's like a minotaur, but a goat.
I looked it up for you guys. It's in the notes. It's a...
Sorry. I didn't read them today.
It's okay. I'll find it.
Yeah. It's like a minotaur, but a goat. But I prefer to call it goat turk.
Like, wasn't that what Fawn was in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? That's what I'm... That's who we're making a play on.
So annoying.
Well, then goes then proceeds some dialogue that is pretty amazing. She goes, that's a gill... And you go, yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
And I go, go Turk. That's my mermaid. And you go,
my bad.
It's so stupid. It's so
stupid. That's a good joke. Come on, man. That's a good joke.
No, it's amazing, but it's so stupid. I love it. It's so bad.
That's a well.
It's so bad.
That's such a good joke.
I laughed out loud.
That's a good dad joke.
It's a great dad joke and a very surreal thing.
Yeah.
All right. So, cold shower. We learned that the two senior citizens have syphilis, which is a real thing. Even at the time of the airing, I'm sure we had the stat right that STDs, because of drugs like Cialis and Viagra, seniors can now have sex a lot longer. And at least when this show aired, the stat was 300% rise in STD amongst seniors. Because they're all banging in nursing homes.
I'm going to tell you something right now. I hope this is true.
It is true.
I hope this is true.
Yeah. Why not? Why go out with a bang?
I hope that when Casey and I are in our
in the home?
60s and 70s and our kids aren't taking care of us, because you know they're not going to.
Don't say 60s. I think this is supposed to be like, even though for some reason the woman is supposed to be in her 60s, I think it reads more accurately like 80s.
Well, listen, whenever it is, I'm just saying this.
I mean, they're in an old age home. You're not in an old age home at 60 normally.
Good. On Scrubs, you are, I guess.
For some reason, they decided to make that woman 60. I don't know why, but go ahead.
She was 68. Okay, but whatever it is. When I'm in, whenever it is, and Casey and I, God willing, please, healthy, alive, still together, I hope, I pray that we are banging like those two.
I have a feeling you won't. I have a feeling you won't need Cialis or Viagra. I think you'll probably still be going strong.
I hope and I pray you're right on that one as well.
Todd enters wearing a GILF T-shirt.
Yes.
Kudos to us for getting a GILF T-shirt on NBC in primetime.
Do you think NBC knew at the time that?
No,
that would,
I bet they didn't. I bet they had no idea what a GILF T-shirt meant.
Yeah, just like all the radio stations didn't know skeet, skeet, skeet meant.
He said, I hear there's a steel magnolia in room 309 that needs a little pruning.
Wow.
He really is open to any and all types of partners.
Yeah.
I thought the end was bar scene was really moving. I found myself with a big smile across my face. It was just,
so did I. My wife didn't see the first part where she said she was planning it. I had to explain that to her. And when she saw it and Elliot does the, oh my God, yes. I mean, yes, oh my God, yes. And she goes, oh. And I said, well, in the beginning of the show, babe, she does.
But Sarah still sold the shit out of it.
Even
though the audience knew it was coming, Sarah sold the shit out of it.
She crushed it.
And it was really sweet. I love the way it was filmed. And then, of course, it ends with JD with tears in his eyes. And he realizes that he doesn't have any feelings for Melody. That seeing this makes him realize he still has feelings for Elliot. And it ends with him in a cold shower. Oh, that was really clever. Oh, sorry. I'm skipping one of the most important beats, that you finally come around to JD's fantasy of what it would be like to Elliot. And he's so happy and in love. Yeah. And he says, I love you. I'm so happy that you're my wife.
And it's the simplest of fantasies also. Like all the other fantasies were so elaborate. Like Cox kills Elliot, you know.
Kelso sits across down a long table. I hate you or something.
Yeah, I know.
Carla makes out
with her. Carla.
Oh, what do they say? They're like, let's just get wine and go shoe shopping or something.
Yeah, then we can have sensual something like cuddly sex
and tender.
And then tender sex or some shit like that.
good episode, very good episode.
Yeah, very good.
Joelle, do we have a guest today?
We do.
All right, we're gonna take a break, everybody, and when we come back.
Fuck your sound effects machine.
We're going to have a guest and it's going to be fun and laughter. We'll be right back.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved playtime off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What you trying to get into a day or so?
You know.
What you trying to do?
What you trying to do? What I do? What I do?
All right. Check this out. Yes, go ahead, Dom. Tell us about our caller. I think this is the first time you've organized the caller. When it came into the group chat, I double-checked to make sure I was in the right text chain.
Yeah.
But Donald organized today's caller. Go ahead, Donald.
So we went to I said it earlier. We went to the Zombies 3 premiere. We took the kids. We took the girl, Wilder. She loves the movie. And so while there, we found out that the lead of the movie is actually Cameron Manheim's son, Milo Manheim. And we found this out because Cameron came up and introduced herself to us and offered, you know, would you like to meet to my kids? Would you like to meet my son?
Wow.
He's the star of the movie.
Wow.
And in doing so, she introduced me to her nephew, who's a surgeon, who's a fan of Scrubs, who actually listens to the podcast. But he does something that's pretty unique. Like, he's like I don't know what it's exactly called. It's like a robotic technician or some shit, like surgeon.
Well,
something
we're gonna
like that.
Find out.
Yeah, let's find out what it is.
We got a caller who gave us a holler. We can talk Star Wars or sing show tunes, you know, like a baller. Smoke some jazz cabbage. Maybe talk about the episode. So come on, Joelle, let's get the show on the road.
Give it up for Noah Swann!
Noah.
Hey, Zach. Hey, Donald.
What's up, man?
Welcome to the podcast, sir. Welcome, welcome.
It is such a pleasure to be here. It's really a pleasure to meet both you guys.
I'm just so
happy. Well, we met already, bro. I just did a whole story on how we met, man, and you just made it look like we didn't meet.
Calm down. He means, totally he means on the show. He means on the show, Donald.
That's correct, on the show.
Now, I'm just so happy that you're a real you're a surgeon, correct?
I am a real surgeon.
And you listen to the podcast, which makes me very happy. Anytime I stumble across people in the real world that listen, I'm so excited. But particularly a real surgeon. We're lucky to have you on the show, and thank you for listening.
Well, thank you guys so much. Growing up, everyone has, certain shows that kind of give them guidance into what they're supposed to do. And when you apply for medical school, one of the things they caution you against is saying, I watched this medical trauma and that got me involved. And Scrubs was the show that I had to, bite my lip and say, I didn't watch this and it didn't influence me into going into medicine. It must be kind of interesting for you guys because there must be a lot of people like me watching your show growing up who, somehow got pushed in that direction because of you.
Too. Yeah, we run into that all the time, and we always feel so honored that we did that, or indirectly we did that. And I have to say, it's just we keep hearing for years. We've heard, and I hope you'll attest that this is true, that of all the medical shows, even though Scrubs was the most bizarre and wacky, that it's the most medically accurate of what the lifestyle is like.
In terms of training and residency and the interactions that happen, that's absolutely true. I mean, there's far more or less, sex in the broom closet in Scrubs and far more, interdepartmental dynamics than there is in, say, Grey's Anatomy or ER. So right.
So you're saying there's no sex in the broom closet in the real world?
Maybe I did not do residency right, but at least in my residency.
Sip take.
Tell us what you actually do. Donald said you have a specialty in the heart, in the cardiac world.
So it's not cardiac. I do robotics. So I do robotic and bariatric surgery. And robotic surgery is an extension of laparoscopic surgery. I know that your character Turk talks a lot about doing laparoscopy at different points during the show. And when you guys were filming Scrubs, robotics really hadn't come into its own as a field yet. Mm. And so it's the sort of the next evolution of laparoscopy. And so when you're doing laparoscopic surgery, you make small incisions in people's bellies and you stick instruments in, you blow up their abdomen so you have room to operate. And then you basically have multiple graspers or cutting devices to do your operation. With the robot, you attach those devices to a robotic machine that allows you to both see in three dimensions, magnify your motions, and then the instruments are significantly more complex. So you have many more degrees of freedom in terms of how you move. And so the learning curve is much faster and you can be significantly more precise. And so I knew pretty early on when I saw the robot for the first time that this is how I sort of wanted to participate in the medical field and be a surgeon. And I was able to, you know, through a pretty circuitous path, achieve that. I initially wanted to be a urologist. They do kidneys and then, you know, penile reconstruction and that kind of thing. Because they were the first doctors that really used the robot. And since then, the robot has become, embraced by multiple other fields, including what I currently do now, which is bariatrics, which is weight loss surgery. And it's just going to continue to grow.
Just slow down 1 second. Sorry. Weight loss surgery, meaning tying off stomachs?
So there's multiple types of weight loss surgeries. There's surgeries where you just remove a portion of the stomach and that helps people both eat less and then has some hormonal effects. And then there's a variety of weight loss surgeries where you essentially replumb the GI tract and move around portions of the intestine. So you have, you know, less intestine to absorb food. You can treat things like diabetes. Patients who undergo bariatric surgery have significant health improvements in all kinds of problems like hypertension, diabetes, and it's also been shown to improve cancer risks. So it's becoming increasingly popular.
I was about to ask you, okay, if you're able to rearrange and shorten the intestines and stuff like that, how would this do against intestinal cancer and colorectal cancer and stuff like that?
So the actual surgery itself isn't really what reduces cancer risk. It's the weight loss that goes along with it. And so we know that patients who suffer from obesity, as their BMIs get higher, there are higher rates of cancer associated with that. And so by reversing that, we're able to bring those rates of cancer down. And that's kind of a newer benefit that we're just showing and has come out in some of the more current research.
Are people still doing the thing where they tie off the stomach, or has that become less common?
Well, there's a
lap band. Isn't it called lap band?
So I was wondering what you're talking about. The lap band was very popular in about 2010. And I don't know if you remember driving around Los Angeles at that time, but everywhere you looked, there was a billboard for, you know, lose the weight. And
I just remember learning that people could actually eat like through it, right? Or it would like push it off or something.
So that's one of the problems with the lap band. It had two major issues. One is that you're putting a foreign body around the stomach. And so it can slip, it can erode, it can cause problems like reflux or nausea. And the other problem is that the mechanism it works is it's just supposed to reduce your appetite by constricting the stomach. Most other bariatric surgeries have some component of hormonal changes associated with them as well. So for patients who had the lap band, they could lose a certain percentage of weight, but many had problems and many gained it back. Probably about 30 or 40% of patients who had them did well and were really happy with their results, but a lot of them ended up getting second surgery.
That's not in favor anymore. Now it's reducing the size of the stomach or the large intestines.
So bariatric surgery is an area where lots of people have very strong opinions. And so there are people who will still be doing the lap band, but it's being done with far less regularity than it was done 10 years ago. The most common surgery in America is called the sleeve gastrectomy, where you staple off about 80% of the stomach. But people are also doing things like gastric bypass and other types of bypass surgeries as well.
Go ahead, Donald.
Wow. What's the one the lap band that's, I know a few people died from trying to lose
constrict
weight
through their stomach?
Yeah. Through surgery. The lap band is the one that's really dangerous though. Also, there's a risk in doing any of this, obviously, but that was the one that I don't want to freaking get in trouble. I don't want to get sued by lap band. So.
Well, good. We got a surgeon here who can answer your question. Go ahead.
So the lap band was relatively safe. The mortality wasn't really the big problem. It had to do with it either eroding into the stomach or slipping. Bariatric surgery has a long history of trial and error. And early on, the first surgeries, they basically bypassed, you know, 85% of the intestine and plugged the remainder of the intestine back in and only gave you about 100 centimeters to absorb. And patients had all kinds of nutritional deficiencies. Probably the most dangerous surgery that's being currently done in America, not that it's dangerous, but that it has the most possible side effects, is called the duodenal switch. And you're basically removing about half of the intestine further down, and so you don't have that to absorb. And if you don't take the appropriate vitamins, then patients can have massive nutritional deficiencies that can be fatal. And so some of those have come into the news. But in general, bariatric surgeries, if you have a good program and you follow along with, you know, a good nutritionist, are very safe.
Do you think robotics are going to be used in more and more surgeries? I mean, will it come to a point where everything is done through a small incision and robotics?
I think there's always going to be room for open surgeries. There are many times where things are too stuck, or you just don't have the robot available where it's absolutely necessary to know how to do that. Right now, across all fields, people are using the robot for elective surgery, meaning not for emergencies.
Right.
And slowly we're finding ways to do more emergent surgeries that way, but there's always going to be a need for someone who knows how to, you know, make a big bin line incision and stop bleeding or control contamination. That being said, I think the robot's going to continue to grow. Some of the major barriers to entry are cost and then training of personnel. So the system itself costs about $1.5 million. And then there's about $200,000 or $300,000 of maintenance a year. And it requires a whole set of training, not just for the surgeons who do it, but for everyone else in the OR to know how to exchange the instruments and maintain the system. And so those are major barriers to entry, but at the same time, you can be so precise and the operative experience is so excellent that there's been a real push to adoption. And there's some implications.
Sorry. How long do you think until it's doing the procedure itself?
That's what I was about to say. When is nanotech?
I'm thinking about like autopilot in a plane where the pilot's taking off and then he's hitting autopilot because – you know, the robot's going to, he's going to monitor the robot, but the robot's going to fly more accurately than a human being ever could. Obviously with the monitoring of a human being, do you think something analogous will happen in the surgery world where you're saying like, Hey, do this, but I'm going to watch you to make sure you don't fuck up. But your accuracy as a computer could be better than a human's ever could.
I hope that doesn't really happen in the next 30 years because that might be the end of my career. But it's going to happen at some point. So they've already created robots that can do things like close skin together better than any human can. The thing with surgery is that it's not so much about the technical skill, although that's absolutely essential. It's every single thing you do is a separate decision. And making those decisions requires lots of expertise. And so I think it's going to be a while before we have a robot that can go in, interpret someone's anatomy, find out what the problem is, and then execute the right series of steps in order to do it. I may be able to tell a robot, you know, close this incision here and then walk away. But I think
go have lunch.
Yeah, exactly. But I think I'm probably secure over the next 20 or 30 years. Yeah.
But you do believe that's on the horizon, right?
Nanotech is on the horizon, bro. It has to be.
That's what it's called. Is that what it's called? Nanotech.
Well, I'm thinking little tiny robots.
Like Inner Space.
Like Iron Man.
Do you remember Inner Space?
I do remember Inner Space. One of my favorite movies ever.
It's a great movie.
Dennis Quaid.
Doc, did you see
Inner
Space?
Goes inside.
They shrink him down.
So is this like a Miss Frizzle situation? I'm pretty well versed, but I've
not
seen
Inner Space.
They shrink Dennis Quaid.
I know what movie you're watching tonight, Doc. Inner Space.
They shrink Dennis Quaid down to the size of a freaking molecule almost, and inject him into Martin Short.
Yeah, and wackiness ensues.
That's when it all craziness happens.
Listen, all I need to
tell
you is
that's where Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan met.
All I got to tell you is that Martin Short is.
Do you watch The Boys? Do you watch The Boys?
I've seen Dennis Quaid's son in The Boys. Yeah,
that's Meg Ryan's son too. Guess where they met when making Inner Space? It all comes full circle, Noah.
Well, there we go. You're bringing it back.
Martin Short is so funny. I've been watching Only Murder in the Building. And
oh my God, Zach, I started it and it's so good.
It's fun, right? But Martin Short, like, I just cut to him and I laugh. I just find him so funny.
Did you ever see Three Amigos?
Of course I've seen Three Amigos.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen Three Amigos. Great film.
And did you ever see The Santa Claus 3 where he plays...
an elf?
He's Jack Frost.
He's Jack Frost. There you go. Yeah, he's Jack Frost.
Well, I'm liking Only Murders in the Building, and he's very funny.
It took me 25 years to realize that the Santa Claus was a pun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were 25 years old when you found out, huh?
No, I watched the movie when I was 12, and 25 years later, I was like, oh, Claus means two things.
Yeah. And you're a doctor, right?
Yeah.
Surgeon.
Right.
Yeah, certain.
Well, thank you for coming on, Noah. We really appreciate it.
Do you have any questions for us?
Oh, yeah. Do you have any questions for us?
I'd love to ask you guys a couple. So one of them has to do with my favorite thing about the show, which was your relationship with each other and sort of your bromance.
Yeah.
How did you guys decide to sort of focus and highlight on that so much, given that at the time that wasn't something that was emphasized in pop culture?
I think it was a combination of Bill had written it, you know, based on his friendships. And then Donald and I took it and ran with it. Bill, it's funny. I was just working with him this week and now he's become a hugger. You know, it took 20 years. He wasn't even, he wrote these characters, but like, he'd still like stick out his hand and like, Bill, no, we're hugging.
No, we're hugging, bud.
And, so I think he created these characters and then the magical thing happened that Donald and I really truly became as close as the characters in real life. And then he just started taking stories from our own life and making them that. And we would improv, you know, as it was easy for us to improv as the guys because they were very similar to who we were.
Yeah. Turk and JD definitely broke down a lot of my own homophobia issues. You know what I mean? Like having to do a lot of the things that we did definitely, you know, it's all, look, I love you no matter what. If your life was on the line and I needed to do something to save you, I would do that for you.
I'm so confused. You'd put your penis in them if they needed it for their life?
Absolutely. That's what I would have to say.
They're like,
say
he's
that.
Coding. He's coding. We need a giant cock inside him.
Oh, my word.
You would do that?
For you?
Yeah.
In a heartbeat.
Thank you, baby.
In a
Doc,
heartbeat.
Does that ever come up in the medical field? Quickly needing a penis in someone's rectum?
As I said, I didn't spend very much time inside the broom closets during residency, so I didn't get that experience very frequently.
I just wondered if there was any situation in the ER where, like, quick, we need a phallus in his rectum.
Well, I can tell you that my second day of residency, so, you know, I'm 48 hours in, I walk in, I'm on call, and my senior goes, I've got a rectum for you to disimpact. So there was a guy who was literally, like, I walk into work, and 20 minutes later, I've got, ankle or I guess, you know, like wrist deep in some guy's ass trying to take it, you know, disimpact some constipated stool.
Oof. Yeah. Okay. That's what I was going to ask you. So what
do they give you nose plugs?
Yeah. Like, how does that work? Like, so you got to go up there and you got to be professional. How do you not in your mind say, oh my God, I'm one fisting this dude.
Yeah.
Like that's
well, more
real
like
talk.
Wearing him like a hand puppet.
Right. Like how do you not, that's the first thing. And then two, I'm actually pulling his doo-doo out of him. Now,
is it a doo-doo clog? Is that the problem? Like there's too much doo-doo and it's clogged?
When they're impacted, they basically have a stool ball that's so hard
Can't
come out their rectum that it's too big.
And then you take it, you have to reach in there and pull out the stool ball.
You basically turn your finger and they're like, it becomes a popsicle. You kind of stick your finger in there and pull it out.
Do you ever like try and swish it like a three to the garbage can?
I can't say that I have.
Oh, you never try that.
You know, man.
The rules of disimpaction, though, are you're never supposed to make eye contact with the patient once you start.
Because it could be sexual if you guys are looking at each other.
Well, I mean, it could be sexual. I mean, it's already awkward for them. It's kind of awkward for you. As you were saying, you're doing everything you can to maintain your professionalism.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like, being a doctor, you have a license to see things that you wouldn't necessarily see normally.
Like doodle balls.
Like one, the inside of people, right? You wouldn't normally get to see those things. That, too, I always found it awkward when your doctor's like, all right, let me see your stuff. Now, I know they're being professional, and automatically, I'm like, yeah, sure, here's my shit. There's my junk. Right. You know what I mean? But truth, and the truth of the matter, we're so caught up in it in other situations. Like, I would never do that in front of, you know, a bunch of people out of nowhere, because I don't want to go to jail.
Yeah, but you're prepared. You know when you're going to get your physical, that you're going to at some point drop your drawers and at some point bend over and let him digitally penetrate you.
Yes.
Do you know that I have to have my first colonoscopy doctor, and I've never had that after 45, right?
So exactly, they moved the guidelines up 5 years, so it's
Donald. Donald has had his.
I had,
but I'm talking
early.
To the doctor. I'm talking to him before because he's. I haven't had it yet. I think it's coming up this week, and he says he's asking all these questions, and he goes, "I'm going to do an endoscopy as well for XYZ reasons," and I thought I was being clever, and I said, "Don't use the same camera," and he said, "Do you know how many people make that joke?" And I was like, "Oh. I thought I was being original."
Well, I
was like, "Come on, you couldn't give me a courtesy. You couldn't give me a courtesy laugh, Doc. You know."
He didn't even go, "Ha ha ha."
Well, you know, it's always a scary experience for your first time. The one thing that you know you should take solace in is that it's July, so that means there's going to be a whole fresh new crop of interns and residents starting. So you know, you may be someone's first colonoscopy.
Maybe assisting, no. But I know the guy who's doing it. He's going to be operating the camera.
Okay.
Now they give you propofol, right? Now
propofol.
Is that what's
called? Propofol.
Right. I remember coming out of, because I have had an endoscopy before, and I was waking up, and I couldn't stop talking. Does that happen a lot when people come out of propofol? They're like speaking a lot.
Well, yeah, I had the in my throat when I came.
No, I'm talking about I was just talking. I was like, "Doc, this feels so good. Like, what is this drug you give me?" Like, blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah. Okay, so I had.
And then
a
doc told me that I don't know if he was joking or not, but he said maybe it wasn't propofol, but he said this is the drug the CIA used to use on people because they just couldn't stop talking. They were just spilling their guts like.
So they may have been using a different drug on you. It might have been ketamine, and people tend to often speak when they come out of ketamine holes. Mm-hmm.
I was in a K hole.
You were in a fucking K hole, dude.
You put me in a K hole. God knows what happened.
Doc put you in a K hole.
You probably went out partying. I remember telling him. I remember I couldn't stop talking. I was like, "Doc, this feels so good. Like, would you ever want to hang out with me and my friends?" that you said that you cringe? Well, on my list is on whatever drug, can't stop talking, asking the doctor to bring this drug and hang out with me and my friends.
Oh, dude, I said I have for my colonoscopy, I have one of the most cringeworthy statements ever said to a doctor.
On the drug?
On the drug before the
say?
No before the drug.
Oh, I go, before the drug.
Before the drug.
You can't blame it on the drug.
He's about to put the drug in me, and I look at him. I go, "Tell me when you put it in, because I want to feel it." Cringe. Meaning, I want to be high for that split. I want to feel the high.
It
for
does
that
feel
split
good though.
Second.
It does feel great though,
before
it?
I'm in Dharma. Before right. I go there. Freaking!
But I got to say, when I felt it for the endoscopy, there's a split couple seconds where you're like, "Oh, this must be what heroin or feels like or something," because this is amazing.
And then you're
out.
I was "Tell me." I remember saying that to him, and then after saying that, being like, "Damn, I sound like a fucking addict." And then he's like, "It's in you," and I was like, "Yeah, it is."
All right, we got to wrap it up, Donald Faison.
No.
Noah, you've been an amazing guest. Thank you for educating us. Everyone go get your colonoscopy if you're 45 and above.
And if you're lucky, before the robots take over.
Yeah.
Maybe if you're unlucky and you get lucky enough to have a surgeon like Noah and his robot and his R2 unit operate on you.
Did you name the robot?
So the robots where we work are named after the WALL-E movie. So we have Evie and WALL-E as the two of the robots.
Oh, I love that movie. Great movie, actually.
WALL-E.
WALL-E.
Eva. Eva.
WALL-E.
All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. We love you so much. And
Eva. Eat these bowls, Zach.
Any last thoughts, Donald Faison?
WALL-E.
Joelle, any last thoughts?
No, have a great week.
Guys. Oh, wait, I do want to say something.
Okay, go ahead.
Wait, so somebody asked me, is there a place where you can find the sheet music for I'm No Superman? And I'm coming to you, Zach, because you have a relationship with the band Laszlo Bane.
Mm-hmm.
If we could find a way to get that out there, maybe we, you know, that would be kind of cool. It would be kind of interesting to hear.
Oh, different people riff on it.
Different people's interpretation of I'm okay. No Superman.
But
with the actual music.
You want the chords or the piano music?
I think they're looking for the piano.
All right. Yeah. I will inquire about that. And hey, I want to talk to you about some of Alama Day's music because
I got you.
I think I might be able to put it in a scene in which I just directed.
Call them up.
All right, fans, friends, guests, we love you. Have a beautiful week. We'll see you next time.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made about a bunch of dogs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that you all should know.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.